Yesterday, we remembered what happened on September 11th, 2001, when our country was subject to terrorist attacks. And I recall as a priest that the Sunday reading for what happened after September 11th was the ones we just heard. And most priests, I don't think, preached forgiveness that day. It was a hard thing to do as the churches were packed, filled with people who were mainly afraid and needed words of comfort. But today, 19 years later, we need to revisit that teaching, core teaching of the Christian faith. And Pope St. John Paul II, in his annual World Day for Peace, clearly taught, and this was January 1st, after September 11th, 2001, that there can be no peace without justice, and there can be no justice without forgiveness. And we need to remember that John Paul himself was a man who had to really put that into practice as his life was almost taken by an assassin, and that he went to forgive Mehmet Ali Agca in his prison cell in order to put this teaching of Jesus into practice himself. And connected to our parish, that this was, as we learned, the third secret of Fatima. So forgiveness is a message that is hard. And because it is so hard and countercultural, the gospel leaves us challenged. We do think of situations like 9/11, immense evil, and ask ourselves, how is it possible to forgive a murderer, a rapist, an abuser of children, a terrorist, an arsonist? It does not seem fair to us that there is no retribution. But the teaching of Jesus is very clear. We have to forgive 77 times, or a number that is innumerable. It must be constant. We must do, of course, everything possible from preventing the same horrible, evil things from happening again. But we must not change ourselves into individuals motivated by hatred and revenge. Where there is no forgiveness, there is no peace. And forgiveness does more for the person who is offended rather than for the one who perpetuates the offense. And I repeat that. Forgiveness does more good for the person who is offended than for the person who has perpetrated an offense. So the idea of forgiveness is something that we can reflect on in our lives and in the lives of people we know. I know people whose parents have been dead for many, many years, and yet they continue to blame their parents for their terrible lot in life. They are bitter, resentful, instead of being free and compassionate. I also know people who have worked hard to be honest about what has happened to them in the past and worked hard to forgive those who hurt them so that they themselves are healthier and happiness. The weight of unforgiveness was a burden that was finally cut free from their lives. One definition of forgiveness that I like is, forgiveness is giving up the hope of a better yesterday. Think about that. If you are a person who lives in a world of, if only this happened, or if somebody did this, I would be better off. But give up hope of that better yesterday, of changing the past. And a great spiritual truth is, I cannot change other people. I can only change myself. So do not let wrath and anger, as we hear in the book of Sirach today, poison your heart and rob you of peace. As we know in the gospel today, Peter is told by Jesus that we need to forgive 77 times or endlessly. And that is hard to do. And it calls forth from us to tap into that divine part of ourselves, our souls, that really is the God part that can never be offended. And we can imitate God by then forgiving unconditionally and at all times. Dutch priest Father Henry Nouwen, who died nearly 25 years ago, is one of my favorite spiritual writers because he is so aware of his own weaknesses and that living in God brings forth transformation. I quote from what he said about forgiveness. He said, "It is this divine forgiveness that I have to practice in my daily life. It calls me to keep stepping over all my arguments that say forgiveness is unwise, unhealthy, and impractical. It challenges me to step over all my needs for gratitude and compliments. And finally, forgiveness demands of me that I step over that wounded part of my heart that feels hurt and wronged and that wants to stay in control and put a few conditions between me and the one whom I am asked to forgive. Only when I remember that I am the beloved child can I welcome those who want to return with the same compassion as that with which the Father, the Heavenly Father, welcomes me." End of quote. I mentioned forgiving parents, but sometimes we need to forgive ourselves for things that we have done wrong and have been hurtful for our lives. And don't be surprised when I tell you that some people even need to forgive God. Forgiving does not mean ignoring the offense, but rather giving yourself the possibility of living free from the weight of the offense. And sometimes it requires immense effort because the weight of the past is so challenging. We need to ask for God's help because we know that we can't do it alone. So we implore Jesus to give us his gift of grace and the ability to forgive. Today, we're going to pray one of my favorite Eucharistic prayers. It is Eucharistic Prayer for Reconciliation number 2. So please pay close attention, as it is not one of the usual prayers that priests pray at Mass. And one of the lines that is so meaningful for me is about forgiveness being hard to put into practice. And so when that is our situation, we do call upon God's power, that our hatred is overcome by love, that revenge gives way to forgiveness, and discord is changed to mutual respect. Even though we think that it is impossible for us to forgive, with faith in God to help us, we know that all things are possible for God.